Let's call the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Veterans Affairs to order, and we do have a quorum. There are certain bills that I know I can pass out without a without any other people here. So let's open a work session on Senate Bill 700.
Let me get the bill out before I make any motions.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 700 creates a task force on veterans reintegration. Last week, we passed 700. However, the day after, with a fiscal of $44,000, the next day, we got a revised fiscal, which is in your packet, which is a fiscal of zero. So what we'd like to do is a possible reconsideration and not send this to Ways and Means because it has a zero fiscal.
Okay, I will, yeah, it's open.
Work session. Okay.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 700.
All right. Senator Cruz moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 700. It's not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? No objection. So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 700 was sent to the floor with a due pass and requesting referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 700 was sent to the floor with a due pass and requesting referral to Ways and Means. And requesting a referral to Ways and Means. All right, is there any discussion? Colleagues, this was a bill that was sent down to Ways and Means.
We don't want it to go there.
DHS then gave us a fiscal that showed that there was no fiscal. So, is there any other discussion? If not, is there any objection to the motion? Not, motion carries, and yes.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 700 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 700 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? No opposition. So ordered, and Senator Schrader will carry this bill. Let's open a work session on Senate Bill 5.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 5 was heard last week and allows appointment of adjunct general in grade to lieutenant general. And I think what Mr. Caldwell said last time was that they're asking to give an additional star to the guy.
Absolutely right.
All right, we have a fiscal and a...
We have a FISRIS.
Yes.
So, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 5 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 5 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd only say that in my wildest dreams as a private in the Army that I ever think I would be voting on giving a star to a general. I'm not sure I could even vote on this without falling out of my chair.
Well, then fall.
All right. With that, if there's no further discussion, is there any objection to the bill? All right. So ordered. And Senator Boquist will carry this bill unless Senator Courtney wants to, but I think he will defer to Boquist.
Do 725.
Okay. And let's open a work session on Senate Bill 725.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 725 creates a task force on women's veterans health care.
All right. Is there colleagues? Whoops, wrong bill. Let's get our bills here. All right. Again, no discussion. We do have a fiscal of $44,570.
No, the fiscal is zero.
Zero.
There's a revised one that's zero. I don't think you have the revised one with you.
We do not have the revised one.
Madam Chair, there's an identical House bill that will be passing the House today that's also introduced by Senator Johnson and Representative Gelser, and their fiscal is zero. This one is zero as well.
Madam Chair, I do understand that, but just to err on the side of safety, I think it's appropriate for us to do this just in case, just make sure nothing gets crossed up in the wiring of the building.
All righty.
So, my question, Madam Chair, is do we want to suspend the rules?
I would like to ask if it's agreeable to everyone if we would suspend the rules since we don't have the fiscal. All right?
Yes.
All those in favor of suspending the rules, because we do not have the latest fiscal, is there any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I believe the President has established a new procedure to move bills expeditiously to Ways and Means.
This one isn't going to go.
This one doesn't go.
Yeah. One straight to the floor.
All right, I'm waiting for a motion.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 725 to the floor to do pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 725 to the floor. With a due pass recommendation, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. Senator Johnson will carry this bill. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 725, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 454.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 454 establishes data reporting requirements for carriers offering health benefit plans and third-party administrators. We heard 454 last week, and there are two amendments, both of which are in your packet.
All right, we'll need to ask Tom Holt to come forward to talk about the Dash Ones, and Carol Robinson or Sean or somebody to talk about the Dash Twos. And this bill is going to Ways and Means. And does everyone have the Dash Ones and the Dash Twos?
Yes, your packet is in numerical order.
Good morning, Chair Monis Anderson, committee members. For the record, my name is Carol Robinson, Interim Executive Director of Oregon Health Fund Board. Thank you for allowing us to speak today on the Dash Two amendments to Senate Bill 454. And my apologies for the confusion in the last committee hearing about this. There was certainly has been a mystery in how the amendments were numbered. So now that we've got that cleared up, we are testifying, in fact, on the Dash 2 amendments, which, just to refresh your memories and go over this quickly for you, would change a few things in the Senate bill. Number one, require all licensed health insurers and third-party administrators to report on their covered lives by line of business and zip code. Now, this is not an amendment change, but these are the things that the bill would actually accomplish. Number two, require the development of uniform standards and eligibility verification of healthcare claims and payment remittance advice for licensed health insurers in Oregon, and allow the director of DCBS to adopt these standards by rule. And that is an amendment reference, page 1, lines 6 through 22, in the Dash 2 amendments. The reason for the amendment was to clarify what our intentions were in this administrative simplification initiative. Number three, report public disclosure and engagement by hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers about capital expenditures, including construction and medical technology. So this was in a couple of different references, and this is where you'll see some difference between the dash one and dash two amendments.
And this is key, committee members. On page two, lines 12 through 19, is the main difference between this bill, this amendment, and the dash twos. So, again, explain what that this in your amendment does, Carol.
In our amendment, what we are doing is adding a threshold for reporting of the purchase of a single piece of diagnostic or therapeutic equipment, which where the value exceeds $1 million. So, what are the goal in requiring the reporting of this type of medical expenditure is to give communities more information about purchases of large capital expenditures such as MRI machines, gamma knives, and the kinds of medical technology, while necessary, in many cases drives up usage and expense. So to be able to track those areas and regions, and of course we have plans in that are cited in the bill to be able to publish this information on an OHPR website so that communities can see trends. And if you, for example, and we use the example of Bend very often of the number of MRI machines that are in that community, and when you start to see those kinds of expenditures going that kind of trend, then the community is more aware, and we believe that information becomes power in this kind of circumstance.
Okay.
Those are the key. That's the key difference in the two sets of amendments. You will see that we deleted a couple of sections, and there was a comment made at the last hearing last week about kind of a gut and stuff. We don't believe that is what has happened with this bill. Initially, when Senate Bill 454 was developed and drafted, it was a bill that attempted to do a lot of things in one bill, and we felt like there were a few areas that were redundant with some other pieces of legislation that are moving through the Capitol, both on the House and Senate side, and we felt like streamlining this bill a little bit and bringing it down to the areas, the three key areas of accomplishments that we would like this bill to achieve would be the right way to go, and that's again administrative simplification of claims and eligibility and remittance reporting, the number two, the reporting of insurance business by line of business and zip code, and number three, the capital expenditure reporting piece.
Okay. Tom, and then we'll have questions.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tom Holt here today on behalf of the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. What I'd like to do is just highlight a couple of things where I think we obviously have agreement between the two amendments. One, what we have agreed to here in is for the hospitals to have a public report of significant capital projects by way of posting information about those projects on their websites with an obvious link for the public to go to and to provide feedback. And that posting would have to include information about what the public benefit is of the particular project. At the same time, the hospital would be required to report that information to the Office of Health Policy and Research, and they can do what they would like to do with the data and also make it known through their good offices. We came up with a method of deciding what to report using a percentage of gross patient revenue. And we did that in order to have it be scalable for facilities so that we're really capturing with the percentage thresholds that are in both amendments, projects that will be of significance relative to those facilities. And we selected 5% of gross patient revenue for type A and B hospitals and 1.75% for the DRG hospitals. Now, where we differ is in the additional reporting that would be required in the dash twos, in that that would require reporting based on a hard dollar threshold of purchases of equipment. And we oppose that particular provision and therefore support the dash ones because, one, we think the percentage threshold is a good measure to use starting this process and see how it works. Secondly, there's an awful lot of equipment gets bought outside of licensed hospitals that I think Carol and others have expressed interest in capturing. You know, for example, the freestanding diagnostic centers. We had some discussion about how we would go about trying to capture that information, and the problem is that they are not licensed or defined anywhere in statute, and we're a bit late to try and take on that project in this session. We would welcome an interim discussion of that issue to delve into, you know, how we might go about capturing information about what's going on outside the walls of and facilities or properties of hospitals so that the picture that we gather of capital projects through the reporting mechanism that we've come up with is one that truly is global in the sense of capturing all that is within a community and within the state and not just focused on hospitals. There's, I think it's fair to say it's a fairly complex issue when we get beyond the hospital projects, but we feel that the dash twos would sort of single us out when there are many other players in the realm of equipment purchases, and therefore we support the dash one and would be opposed to the dash two. Be happy to take questions.
All right. Are there questions? Yes.
Thank you. First of all, to characterize, I mean, it may be the same intent of the bill, but when you basically eliminate an entire bill, by definition, it is a gut and stuff. But at the last hearing on this, a statement was made that the insurance providers were on board with this, and I asked for information as to who and how on board they were, and I have received nothing.
Chair Monish Anderson, Senator Cruz. My testimony reflects, and it was turned in on last Thursday, that in an informal survey of insurers that I and OMA, I was told that the administrative simplification of forms, and this is a work group that would be set up through Oregon Office of Health Policy and Research to find a set of standards that would be supported and move toward the increase of electronic reporting of those forms, thus reducing the number of phone calls coming into insurance customer service and faxes. Paper forms right now are exceeding about 20% of the claims reporting in the state, and the insurers and medical providers alike seemed to verbally express to me that they were supportive of being able to bring that into a standardization. Now, I'll tell you something that I'm sure that I don't need to, and that is that around health reform right now, there are a lot of pieces and parts and a lot of players that are lining up behind or in opposition to different proposals. And so to find common ground where we can move forward on good legislation that would help reduce costs and increase efficiency, I think would be a very smart thing for industry members to do. And I encourage that. Likewise, I think that the state and those of us that are working to increase efficiency, lower costs in health reform, need to look at the good work that is being done by the industry on areas of administrative simplification, and I'll speak to the work that's right now being developed by the Health Leadership Task Force on administrative simplification. So ideally, a work group of the type that's proposed in this legislation could be accomplished very...
You mean in the Dash 2s?
Very simply. Very easily, and we could bring this proposal forward with an industry supported proposal, I think, quite simply.
Okay, is there any other discussion? I do not know how the committee feels on this issue. Senator Bates or Senator Morris or Senator Morissette, any comments? Because I am going to want to have, I want to move an amendment today. We don't have a fiscal yet, but I would like to move this.
Madam Chair, I want a little more clarification if I could.
Yes,
ask
please.
A couple questions here. There are three major parts to this bill, as I understand, and the Minnesota type reporting and simplification is in both the Dash 1s and the Dash 2s. Looks to me like it's unchanged.
That's correct, Senator.
The only section that seems to be significantly different between these two is a discussion around what needs to be reported as far as capital projects are concerned and the methodology for what needs to be reported. Is there any significant difference between these Dash 1s and Dash 2s except on that one topic?
That would be correct, Senator Bates. Thank you.
Senator Bates, that's my read as well, that the difference is in Section 7.
Section 7, that's the only difference I can see between these two.
Mm-hmm. One is based on patient gross receipts and the gross patient revenues, and the other is on a cap of $1 million.
Okay.
$1 million.
Chair Miles Anderson, if I may, in Section 7, you're correct, there's a $1 million threshold for equipment in the Dash 2s. In the Dash 1s, equipment is captured within the definition of capital project. We did some, the underlying statute would bring that in.
Madam Chair, would you mind if I asked Uber a question on this?
Go ahead.
If they want to step up even. When you look at these two things, these two pieces, it would appear to me that the $1 million is probably more restrictive and we have more, but it's just a reporting requirement at this point. It's not any limitation on what actually happens, as I understand. So it's reporting. Which of these strikes you as most restrictive? In other words, what gives the most information?
Chair Morris Anderson, Senator Bates, in looking at what other states have done around this area, they have classified both capital construction and medical technology a little bit differently. And so as Tom has expressed with the percentage of gross patient revenue to be scalable for construction and remodeling, we think that's appropriate. But we also think using those percentages would be inappropriate to talk about medical technology. The average price of an MRI is about $1 million. And under these percentages, in the Dash 1 amendments, the average gross patient revenue for a Type A hospital, which is the smallest hospital in Oregon, would be about $1.6 million. For a DRG, that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of over $20 million. So we would miss a lot of the medical technology pieces in this using a percentage threshold. And in looking at other states, this $1 million threshold seems to be appropriate. About half the states that require medical technology have a $1 million threshold for reporting. So we think that's an appropriate place to put it.
Further comment, Madam Chair?
Please do.
I think either one of these is probably acceptable, although I do lean towards the Dash 2s. What's really concerning to me is that we haven't got the diagnostic centers involved here yet. And that's the real crux of this, and that is not in this either one of these Dash 1s or Dash 2s. However, this is a deliberative process. It's one step at a time. The fact we've gotten this far, I think, is noteworthy. I'd like to see us move one of these two. I personally would like the dash twos. Sorry. And this is a reporting requirement. This is not a restriction on what people do. And they're getting in for good information, and the best information you can get first is the first step you take. So I would be in support of the dash twos, Madam Chair. I don't know how other people in the committee feel.
I need to have an indication if there is support for the dash ones.
Madam Chair, can we just make a move?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move the dash two amendments into of Senate Bill 424 into 454.
Discussion. Clerk will call the roll. Oh, no. Senator Bates has moved the dash twos into Senate Bill 454. There's no more discussion. A clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bates.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Aye.
Senator Moore.
No.
Vice Chair Cruz.
No.
Chairman Sanderson.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, we have the bill before you, and it does go to Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, I'm not going to suspend the rules until I've seen the fiscal. I think this is a bad bill.
Okay, we will wait for the fiscal. With that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 454, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 456.
Madam Chair, before we go to 456, just for clarification, Senate Bill 725, which you just passed, I do have a copy of the fiscal. It was in your packet, those 150-page packet. It's buried somewhere in there. So you can either stay with the suspend the rules or... we're fine, but just the fiscal is in your packet.
Okay. Remember, this is the bill that we named. We now have changed the name of Oregon Integrated Health Home to Patient-Centered Primary Care Home. So now that we have the fiscal, it can go down to Ways and Means if I have a motion.
Now, which did we already?
We already passed.
We passed last Thursday. You passed out and adopted dash four.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And we've got the FISRES, so.
Yep.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 456 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral of the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 456 to the floor with a due pass with prior reference to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered, I close the work session on Senate Bill 456, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 507.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 507 requires certain health insurers to approve or reject participating provider applications within 30 days of receipt.
And there was no consensus on Senate Bill 506, so that is not going to be heard today. Forgot to say that. So 507. And Courtney, would you come up and address the amendments? And I would like someone from... let me look to see who needs to come up.
507 now.
And we're dealing with which amendments, Courtney?
Courtney Dresser for the Oregon Medical Association. In your packets, I believe there in your folder should be a dash one amendment. However, we do have a few changes that we're still waiting from LC for dash two. The dash two would have some changes that.
Okay, with that, I'm going to close the work session on 507, and I'm going to open a work session on 508. We don't have time to discuss things when we don't have amendments in front of us, so
Madam Chair,
I'm just moving it along.
Senate Bill 508 requires health insurers to request refunds from providers within 12 months of date of payment and allow 6 months for payment of refund.
Okay. On 508, during the work group, the health insurance industry asked us to look at the Washington state law, which expands it to 24 months, which we did, and that's what the LC amendment will say when you get it.
Okay, with that, I'll close the work session.
Before we close that, just for the record.
I close the work session at this point on 508. I'm going to open a work session on 509.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 509 imposes requirements on covered entities that obtain use of physicians' discounted rates.
once you get the amendments, you'll see that we've made some serious changes to address the health insurance industry's concerns, and I have a chart to kind of go over what those are, and I'll give those to the committee, and then we can talk about it more when we get the minutes.
All right. With that, I'll close the work session on 5:09, and I'm going to open a work session, or no, a public hearing on Senate Bill 856.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 856 requires the Department of Human Services to phase medical assistance recipients into a cost containment system of provider contracts.
Okay, colleagues, remember I was so concerned about 2009, as many of the members of this committee were, and so I was going to submit legislation. There was other stakeholders that wanted to submit amendments, et cetera. And we were thinking about using 456 as Senate Bill 456 as a vehicle. And after having three different sets of amendments coming before us on this, I decided not to mess up 456, and we took one of my bills that were gutting stuffing, and that's Senate Bill 856. So I just want to have a preliminary discussion. I have now decided not to submit amendments. I've been had a meeting with Representative Greenlick, and the amendments, I wanted to bring the fiscal way down. There was no way that the new amendments coming forward were going to bring the fiscal way down. So I want to deal with the amendments that I know Senator Cruz has been working on, and Senator, who else was working with you?
Tom Holt's got amendments.
Tom Holt, yeah.
And I'm not sure where the...
And the dash ones came from Mike Dewey, I believe. Okay. So with that, I would like... Do you want to go first?
Let's let Tom go first.
Okay, let's let Tom go first.
Madam Chair, just for the record, in terms of the committee in front of them, we have a dash one, which is in your packet, a dash two, which is in your packet, a dash three is in your packet, and a dash four that was just handed out.
The dash four replaces everything.
Yeah.
Which one are we focusing on, Madam Chair?
Dash 4, that's the Gusset. I mean, assuming the dash 4 is the complete change.
Dash 4s, I think, are very similar to the 2s, except there is some changes on the insurance side, and it removes all reference to the whatever that home, medical home thing, whatever we change that to.
Yeah, was. Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, for the record, again, Tom Holt with the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. With me is Mike Becker from Regents Blue Cross of Oregon. The dash fours replaced the dash twos.
Right.
We made some corrections late yesterday to the dash twos. These are very much like what we discussed the other night in Senate Bill 456, and passing out a side-by-side that we worked up last week, and the caveat is that there have continued to be amendments, including conceptual amendments to 2009 as of late yesterday. So we think that we've got the concepts right, at least on the side-by-side, but I'm quite certain that there are some matters of detail on 2009 that may not be totally correct, but we thought it would be helpful for you to at least have a conceptual policy side-by-side of what our concept does versus what 2009 is doing at the moment. This work has been going on, as you know, for a few weeks, and is a collaborative effort amongst the Hospital Association, a number of insurers, and AOI. And the big change since we last discussed this is that, per Chair Moss Anderson's direction, we removed the language that was trying to keep up with the underlying discussion of 456 and integrated health homes. And so we start squarely with the health authority and what it would do, and then move into its technical committees. We did do it at LC's suggestion in this amendment. There is a change in what integrated health homes are called. There has been ongoing discussion of what they will be called, and LC put in as sort of a placeholder where it's mentioned in this amendment, an integrated healthcare delivery system, I believe is the term. And then there are some pretty significant changes that Mike will go over in regard to insurance rate review. So if it's okay, I'll do a very quick walkthrough since we've been essentially through this concept previously of where we are now with this amendment. First, in Section 1, we establish the health authority within DHS, and that's a very conscious decision. Many of us were concerned about potential disruption of services for those who most need all of us through the Department of Human Services in imposing yet another reorganization at a time when budgetary concerns are probably going to be driving some pretty hard decisions already. So that was the first big decision, was to put the health authority within the Department of Human Services under the direction of the director, but give it an action-based mission of moving forward with health care reform where consensus exists and giving a fairly defined mission that I think pairs up fairly well with the 450 series of bills that have been through this committee, and we list all those duties as duties of the health authority. I would point out as we get to the bottom of page 2, sub 3, yes, it does say the health authority shall develop a plan, but it's more than a plan. This is not another report to sit on a shelf and be talked about in committees and work groups and whatnot. It's a business. The idea is a business plan to actually move forward with those elements of healthcare reform that we can incrementally do now, and then going forward through the authority and the technical committees that would be created within the authority of experts, then the authority would go to the executive branch and come back here as needed for additional authorities where statutory changes are needed to move the next steps forward. So we would see this as an ongoing iterative process where there's a lot of back and forth between this building and down the street at DHS, and perhaps eventually the health authority would spin out on its own, but at least in the near term, operate it within DHS to minimize the disruption of services to those in need, and to then act as a coordinating point amongst the various agencies, but from within who deliver health care, but from within DHS. So that's kind of the high level of what the authority would do. I will point out that we create a couple of entities within the authority. One is an executive board that we would see being made up of technical experts in areas of health care, might be finance, could be health care delivery. Consumers certainly should be represented on that. From their point of view, I mean, this is, after all, ultimately about patients receiving health care. And so with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mike to explain the insurance rate review pieces. There's some pretty significant changes. I think most of that language has been replaced since we last saw amendments in the committee.
And please, if you could reference where in the amendments those changes occur.
Chair Monis Anderson and members of the committee, my name is Mike Becker with Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon. Here today to talk about the rate review proposal in Senate Bill 856. And specifically, I wish to remind the committee that there are a lot of negotiations and a lot of moving parts in play, particularly in relation to health insurance rate regulation. There are provisions in House Bill 2009 that set up a procedure for coming to an agreement and coming back to this to the legislature in 2011 with recommendations. There are discussions in the House Consumer Protection Committee around a series of bills addressing the same issues. And what we have proposed through these amendments in front of you are specific changes, dramatic changes to the rate regulation process of health insurers, but changes that we feel are very workable. In general, what we're talking about here are is a transparent process of expanded and clearly defined rating factors. These are built in part off of the Washington model, supplemented by recommendations that have come up in DCBS proposals as well as the Osberg SEIU proposals. We propose in our amendments clear standards for transparency of administrative costs and reporting of those costs. We propose a 30-day public comment period via online postings where the public can give input on administrative costs and rate proposals. And overall, this procedure is one that we believe is workable and avoids politicizing rate review and nonetheless allows subjective criteria that are still founded on actuarial science, which is the basis for rate review in Oregon and in other states. So specifically turning to the provisions in the Dash 3 amendments. I have to get this correct.
Dash 4. 3?
I'm sorry, we're
no,
on the
4.
Dash 4. Okay, the Dash 4 amendments. This starts in Section 4. These provisions are made part of the insurance code. If you look in Section 5, what we add there is a specific public comment period that does not exist today, but it codifies a public comment period, 30-day public comment period, where the director will post online those comments for the public to see and continue to respond to during that 30-day period. In Section 6, what we have set forth is a transparency provision around insurer administrative costs. The department will define by rule and set the form that that carriers would be required to use to spell out any changes in administrative costs, set forth those costs on a PM-PM basis, a per-member, per-month basis, and explain the basis for any changes, any increase or decrease in those administrative costs that are part of that rate filing. In Section 7, what we have are amendments to the existing insurance statutes on rate review, and we specifically spell out in subsection 4 of Section 7 that the director will identify by rule the specific requirements that must be included in a filing. The actual
director of DCBS?
Yes, director of DCBS will spell out those requirements for what must be included with a rate filing, and also identify specifically which components, which documentation is exempt from disclosure because of it is trade secret and would, if disclosed, actually harm competition. Then, continuing on in subsection 5 of Section 7, we have the director, we lay out the actual standard for rate review. It must be actuarially sound. The rates to be approved must be actuarially sound. They must be reasonable, not excessive, not inadequate, and not unfairly discriminatory, and they must be based on reasonable administrative expenses. These are changes, again, from the current rating review process. Then if you go to...
And are those in 2009?
They are not. 2009, again, sets forth, with the current amendments to it, sets forth a process to come to recommendations that will be made to the 2011 legislature. In the next subsection, what we have are the actual rating factors. And in House Bill 3145 that is before the House Consumer Protection Committee, there are currently, I believe, 22, and depending on how you slice and dice them, because many of these factors are both retrospective and prospective, historical and projected computations and demonstrations that have to be made. There could be as many as 28 factors that would have to be reviewed and looked at. We have again, built off the Washington model and looking at those factors, trying to consolidate them down into a workable series of rating factors, significantly expanded from the current requirements. You have what is before you in that section, sub A through I, the specific rating factors that we have laid out for the rule. And then finally, in the next subsection, we have the fact that the department director of DCBS can modify a schedule or table of premium rates with the written consent of the carrier. Again, a requirement or a something that does not exist under current law. We noticed after drafting this that there is a technical change that will be needed to clean this up, and it has to do with an amendment or a memo in LC from a number of years ago that some of you may recall between the Shell versus May controversy.
Yes.
And so some of that does need to get cleaned up to make sure that it is department discretion, DCBS discretion in acting here. So we will clarify that.
And Madam Chair, if I may just tag on one section I unintentionally kind of glossed over. We've talked about it several times now, but the way that we would approach the insurance exchange in these amendments, it remains as in the previous, but for Senator Bates' benefit, our approach on the exchange would be to have DCBS do a very thorough study of the pluses and minuses of various aspects of an exchange, and we list out those areas that would need to be addressed and brought back here in a report, and if DCBS believes it's appropriate to move forward with an exchange, bring forth essentially a business plan of how to go about doing it so that the legislature can provide the appropriate authorities at that time. We're all very concerned about the notion of sort of performing an experiment right now on the domestic insurance market without a lot of direction to DCBS about how to go about an exchange at this point in time.
I think, though, 2000
reserve judgment on that.
And I think 2009 is just setting up a plan also. I mean, correct?
Madam Chair, yes. 2009, as I understand at this point, sets it up and commences a study. I think it's a subtle but important difference. We're saying let's do the further work and come back with a detailed plan of how to go about it before we actually set it up.
Okay. All right, those are the dash fours. Are you willing to talk about any of the other amendments?
Senator Monis Anderson, members of the committee, I believe I can speak to, is it Senator Cruz, are yours the dash twos?
No, mine are the threes.
Dash threes, okay. I believe the difference, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Cruz, tried to make them nearly identical, with the exception of Senator Cruz's amendment, does not actually create the authority, but otherwise, I believe, follows the what are now the dash fours in concept. So there is no authority created, but the technical committees are created within DHS and with all the same missions of moving forward incrementally on healthcare reform. They both amendments, I think, have the underlying intention to build upon the work of the Oregon Health Fund Board.
So, question.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, please.
Because there actually was a thought process in doing this, surprisingly. Basically, the first difference between the threes and fours is Section 1 and the dash fours does not exist in the dash threes, and the reason I did that was when I read Section 1 in the fours, it pretty much mirrors the 400 series that we're passing, and at some point in time, and it all will fall to Senator Bates, but at some point in time there's going to have to be some discrete decisions made as to what we can afford. to do, because if you look at the 400 series, potentially there's quite an expenditure involved in doing all that work. And at some point in time, those will have to be prioritized, I'm assuming. And so when I looked at Section 1 and the 4s, I thought it might be better, because we have sent the 400 series down, that that decision be made and that inform the work rather than have it in this Section 1. So when I looked at Section 2 in the 4s, which is my Section 1 in the 3s, it does give the director, in this case Dr. Goldberg, the ability to set up committees, and it lists a significant number of them that will be tasked specifically with doing the work of whatever bills of the 400 series that we choose to move through this process, plus other work. And I'd like to point out that one of the late additions in both the 4s and 3s in the committees that shall be established, and we put it at the head of the list, was the Healthcare Finance and Access Committee. Because quite honestly, that has got to be the starting point of any discussions we have, and which takes us clear back to Senate Bill 27 from last session, the Archimedes proposal that you start the discussion on health care reform with federal dollars, among other things. So we felt that that was a very important piece and needed to be added in. As far as the insurance components, they are all the same. I just thought this gave more flexibility, and quite honestly, I don't think that the Dash 3s really have a fiscal, because the fiscal will be attached to the 400 series, although we will see what the report brings in once we have it. The other change between the 3s and 4s, where the heck is it? Has to do with, in the 4s, it is Section 10, I believe. Is it Section 10? Yes, Section 10, which sets up a fund inside the state treasury for money from Medicaid and CHIP. In discussions with the chair of the Ways and Means Subcommittee, he thought he might want more flexibility than that, and so that section is not in the 3s to allow the Ways and Means to have discrete decisions. I would consider, potentially, if the 3s were the direction we wanted to go, maybe it could be amended back in at some point in time if Ways and Means folks thought appropriate, but I, in my conversation with Senator Bates, I thought it was appropriate to leave that flexibility in at this point in time. So that section is not in the 3s.
What about the Dash 1s, which basically directs the DCBS and the insurance division to develop one or more insurance products designed to provide more affordable options for the small group market?
Chair Monis Anderson and members of the committee, my understanding is that is a proposal brought forth by ODS. And is
Mike Dewey?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure this piece was not put into 856 and...
Okay.
Okay. I mean, in the Dash 3s or the Dash 3s?
No. Yes. It's separate and distinct at this point in time.
All right.
And Madam Chair, just one more comment, because people have been opining on what's in 2009. At this point, based on last night, nobody knows. Okay. Talking to members of the committee, they aren't sure what they put into it. So
I had a meeting yesterday, and it was offering further clarification to me. And it is, I think, a tragedy that we're not being able to discuss. I think Senator Bates had said a long time ago, and I hadn't agreed with him then, but I sort of agree now, we should have maybe had a structure very similar to 329 when we had both the Senate and the House meeting together on this. So, all right. So those are the Dash 4s and the Dash 3s, and I would like, is there any discussion about those two? We're not doing anything with this, but we will be bringing it back on Thursday. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question to Senator Bates and Senator Cruz. the dash threes do not advance the health authority because of the fiscal impact. But in actuality, we are, I believe, we are at the point where we need to implement the health authorities. I think we actually need to set that in motion if we're going to move this at all. I think it needs some kind of centralizing function, and that's what it does. If we passed the dash fours, does that in any way tie your hands in ways and means as to how you could ultimately configure this and get a successful resolution to, you know, reform out of this session?
Madam Chair.
Please.
We're literally going to stack bills down there, obviously. The 400 series, whatever comes from the House, as well as what comes out of this committee as far as these bills are concerned. And I think at the end there may well be some mixing and matching to get us there. We can amend bits and pieces into this in the Ways and Means process. We don't like to touch policy there anymore. We have to, but these are all tied physically together, and that allows us to move pieces into 2009 or move pieces out. And as I read and see what's coming through in a very sort of overall view on this, because we have not enough specifics, we're getting close to the time we have to make decisions here. I'm very concerned if we don't do something it inadvertently has unintended consequences. But having said that, I think the key question we're going to have to deal with in the end here is what the authority looks like. You know, what pieces it has as far as immediate activity or concern in health care reform. That's going to be the real key question here. We've got a bunch of other pieces that we can put in place right now we know of, ranging from the Pulse Forum to the Minnesota Plan to some other issues here, reform and how we look at transparency and as far as setting rates are concerned. But the real key question is going to be that authority. And I want to see what's in 2009, which we obviously don't know. I'll look at this very carefully. It's a question of whether the authority is set up distinct and separate, or that remains a part of DHS and where it functions in both of those. So I don't mean to not give you a straight answer right now, but I want to see more what's out there and what we have votes for, as well as where we think we need to go with the health authority. That's going to be the key question, I believe. And I'm not going to give you one today. I'm sorry.
Well, Madam Chair, what my question really was, do you have the flexibility? And what I heard you say was you do have that flexibility.
I believe we do, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And if we don't have the flexibility, we're going to take that flexibility. Somebody's got to somebody ultimately has to decide this.
Yes.
And I believe the only committee that can do that is a joint committee. I wanted that from the beginning. I thought that if we could have had a joint committee from day one here, we would have been much better served. A joint committee in the House and the Senate, as we did for 27 and 329. I think the product that is vetted by both sides, have a chance to have a discussion with it. That didn't occur for lots of reasons. This is now going to have to occur in a very different setting at Ways and Means. It'll be somewhat difficult, but we'll have to do it.
Yeah. Senator Cruz?
Madam Chair, and I fully understand Senator Morris's concern here. We do create, in both threes and fours, the Health Authority Executive Board, but I think there's a bigger issue here in the creation of the authority, and that gets into agency restructuring as well. And I'm just not sure we are at the point in time with enough information to actually be trying to do that in the middle of a legislative session. I would certainly be willing to explore that, and actually Representative Greenlick and I have had many discussions over time about that concept. I just don't think that the product I see on the table for a restructure is necessarily the right one. And I'm just, at this point in time, I think leaving the authority with the director, with Dr. Goldberg, is appropriate while we wrestle with that bigger picture concept. So,
Again, referring to the meeting I had yesterday with Representative Greenlake and Representative Kotek, they do have now, in 2009, a phase-in of the authority, so it is under DHS for the first 2 years. And then in 2011, it would then be separated out. Yeah.
But how?
Well,
you know,
I think in 2009 they see that issue, but again, those things are being fleshed out. Okay. All right. Any other comments on the dash threes and the dash fours? And we will be discussing this again on Thursday. Mike Dewey, will you come forward to discuss the dash ones?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike Dewey, for the record, representing ODS Health Plans. As I understand, this amendment has been vetted through the Governor's Office and DCBS. Robert Godey, who is the president of ODS, and others, including myself, have had discussions about reform and cost savings. And it's our belief that we really have to look at the small group market because there really isn't any leverage there. And ODS and some other carriers and hospital organizations have had some meetings preliminarily about a way to kind of redefine the market and bring some economies of scale and leverage to that market, in particular on some of the high-cost services, medical imaging, cancer treatment, those types of treatments. One of the areas that we have difficulty in having those meetings is antitrust obligations, setting rates or appearing to set rates and so forth. So we needed a structure similar to HIRAC, which you can have those conversations. So this is an opportunity in this particular bill, and notwithstanding what has been said about 2009, I do believe the DAS 69 amendments were accepted in 2009, which is the same language. We wanted to have this language in both vehicles. So just to be sure that if it was 2009 or 856, whatever the case may be, that we don't lose something in the translation. So we think it's an opportunity to do something in the small group market. Originally, we were very prescriptive in the sense that we were talking about what that market would look like in terms of actual increases in premiums, either going up or down on a matrix, and we realized that was just too confusing, so let's start back at square one. So this is designed to look at the small group market, and I think it's a real opportunity in certain areas to save money down the road. So with that, that's the amendment that you have before you.
I was quite impressed with the presentation that Mr. Godey gave me in 2008 regarding this issue, and I was so and I said, "Oh, let's have a bill." He said, "Give me time," and he has really networked with the governor's office, with a number of legislators, et cetera, because he so wanted to make sure that this concept could fly. So it's not a new concept to me, but. I think that we should seriously consider this one also. So that, again, will be discussed on Thursday. Yes, Senator Bates.
Just a little more information, if I could, Madam
yes.
Chair. The language in that, the dash ones, are pretty simple, but cover a rather broad topic, looks like to me. This gives you an opportunity, you said, to have a discussion without running into antitrust issues. Is that the purpose of this?
I think, Madam Chair and Senator Bates, I think there's two purposes. One is to deal with antitrust. Second is that the legislature is asking that DCBS and the Insurance Division Advisory Committee start this conversation. So it's acknowledging that we need to do something. I think it gets the carriers, hospital organizations, and others at the table by virtue of having language in a bill of the magnitude of 856 or 2009.
Okay. Yes, please.
How would you see this relating to a possible insurance exchange or connector, whichever you want to call it?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, quite frankly to me right now, the exchange is a little nebulous. I think this is a, if you will, would be part of what would be offered within the exchange, in my opinion. but it's just my opinion in the sense that I think you would get 10 or 12 different opinions as to what the exchange ought to look like, and I can't tell you what it would look like when it's finally developed.
Great. I think I don't see DCBS in the room, but I do believe that when we discussed this on Thursday, that they need to be in the room to discuss the dash threes, the dash fours, and the dash ones. So, Mr. Shook, would you make sure that
Teresa Miller?
Yeah, contact DCBS to respond and make sure that they get copies of all three sets of amendments. Okay.
Madam Chair, they're planning a hearing on Thursday. And it's going to be a possible work session also.
Possible work session,
thank
yes.
you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We only have, after today, two more times to meet, so that's why I'm sorry I might be a little abrupt, but I want to...
We can meet on Sunday.
No, we don't want to meet on Sunday. Okay. All right, with that, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 856, and I'll open. Is it a work session on 850?
Yes, it is.
A work session on 850.
It's a carryover from the 16th. Senate Bill 850-1 adds a dentist as member of the Health Services Commission, and we do have the fiscal and revenue in your packet.
All right, 850.
Bill.
Right, we have, as soon as I find the bill, Mr. Shirk, do we have, tell me about the fiscals on this.
The fiscal impact is zero. It adds would add a dentist, and then the amendment would add a member from the complementary medicine professional community, and I think we had testimony from Dr. Smith, who staffs that commission, that this would have a minimal impact on that on their financial activity to run the commission.
Were you in favor of the amendment or not? That was the question that FISRIS is on the dash one, but we could assume we don't have a FISRIS on the bill, just the dash one.
Just send it.
Okay. Are we in work session?
We are in work session.
Okay.
And, colleagues, we did have a dash one amendment.
We do have a dash one amendment in your packet, and we also have a dash one amendment, fiscal and revenue.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 850 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. There's a motion on the floor to move Senate Bill 850 to the floor with a due pass. No subsequent referral?
No.
Okay. To the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Clerk will call the roll. Excused.
Senator Morfett?
Aye.
Senator Moore?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair Miles Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries, and I believe this is Senator Morissette's bill. Okay, so Senator Morissette, would you be willing to carry your bill?
Yes.
All right, with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 850. And while I remember, I want to make sure that we are carrying over 507, 508, 509, 856. Did we pass? But we passed out 456.
Yes, we did.
We passed out 456. Okay. All right. I haven't. How do you vote? I haven't gaveled out yet, or have I? Do we rescind so that Senator Bates can vote on the last bill?
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
We can do 701.
All right. So now let us...
I have the fiscal on 701.
Okay. I actually was...
We have it.
All right, let us open a work session on 701. And do we have amendments to 701?
Madam Chair, we do have an amendment to 701. That would be in your packet. And we also have a fiscal and revenue on the dash one amendments.
Okay. So this is the nursing faculty loan repayment program. And who is here to speak to the dash ones?
That blonde lady and that...
And
the follically challenged young man. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Good morning, Chairman Anderson and members of the committee. Kristen Leonard here on behalf of the Northwest Health Foundation. We spent some time, it was a few weeks ago now, going over the Dash 1 amendments and kind of why these were necessary for the loan repayment for nursing faculty program. Basically, what happened in the original iteration of drafting is that we inadvertently removed a program currently on the books for a loan repayment, which was not the intention. So the Dash 1s basically bring back that program and also add the nursing faculty loan repayment program. And we can walk through the sections if that's helpful, or just answer any questions.
What is the will of the committee?
Let's move it.
Okay. Are people ready to move? Is there any questions? Let's give them time to look at the amendments. Yeah.
I'm wondering, it's going to go to Ways and Means, doesn't it? So they can, I mean,
it's, absolutely. Yeah. It does go to Ways and Means, Senator Bates, so.
Everything goes to Ways and
Means. So you,
Have you guys passed the Bible yet and sent it to Ways and Means?
That has a fiscal impact, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just a question. In our previous discussion, we were talking about how it would be, how this would be funded.
Mm-hmm.
And what this amendment does, as I read it, is it, that funding mechanism is established by rule. Is that what we're doing? Or where is the funding mechanism?
Yeah, that's what I'm asked about, too.
That's a different bill.
Correct. Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Morris, the intention of this bill is to get the program to Ways and Means to talk about what the funding mechanism would be. Right now, what we're in the process of is looking towards some grants that are currently available from the federal government that would are really targeted toward workforce, healthcare workforce, specifically education. So we're looking at, we'd like to set up the program so we have a place to, if we get some of these grant dollars, put some of this money. So we're looking at some of those opportunities that are out there and trying to find other options for money to go toward this program. That's why we'd like the bill in Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, our Ways and Means Committee is assigned impossible tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go do good work, Senator.
Madam Chair, I'd point out that the task is going to be for these folks, once it's down there, to identify the funds, or nothing's going to happen with it. So the real work's there. It's not for the Ways and Means Subcommittee to identify these funds. It's for these good folks to do that work. So, and then if they can bring to the subcommittee, these are the funds we can do this with, then it's an easy job for the subcommittee, theoretically.
All right, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 701.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 701. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Excused.
Senator Moore.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
I hear really reluctant eyes here.
Well, we ought to do the work here, but I understand the limitations of time, but we just keep everything we do, we dump down into Ways and Means.
Well, Madam Chair, I would agree. I would like to keep it here and do the work and identify the funding source and then send it down, but we can't do that between now and Tuesday.
And I understand.
Aye. With that,
Madam Chair.
Yes. Oh, yes. We're
okay.
On the amendment.
I move Senate Bill 701 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 701 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation as a prior reference to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bates.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Excused.
Senator Morris.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman Sampson.
Aye. Motion carries. With that, I...
What?
Oh, I'm just
Okay, so we closed work session on 701, and I would like to open a work session on 679.
Just trying to anticipate it.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 679 is a carryover. From 2 weeks ago. It authorizes insurers to pay dividends in form of cash rewards to enrollees who participate in approved programs to promote healthy lifestyle. There were dash one and dash two amendments, both of which were approved last week. Based on the dash two amendment, we requested a fiscal, and as of this morning, we do not have the fiscal, but it is the same fiscal as the dash one. There were just some minor changes that Senator Morris made with the insurance commission director.
Madam Chair, I move that we suspend the rules for the purpose of considering sending Bill 679 to the floor.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules so that we, because we do not have the fiscal, so that we can consider Senate Bill 679. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, the fiscal on the twos will be the same as the ones. We're just saving a little bit of time and paperwork.
Is there any further discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, now we've done the twos into the bill.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 671 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 679 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Now, I just want to be clear, did we move the dash ones and the dash twos
yes,
already? Okay, I just want to make sure that both of them
are in. It's a done deal.
Okay, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered, Senator Morris, would you like to carry this bill?
I would, thank you.
Okay. With that, I'll close the work session on 679. And I did not call Ellie Jenny. Is she still in the room?
No, she's not.
Okay. I apologize. On Senate Bill 856, Ellie Jenny wanted to speak. She was neutral on the bill, and so she has the opportunity, if she wants, to come back on
856.
On 856, yeah. So I just wanted to note that for the record. Okay, so we took care of 679.
Did I?
And did we take care of 850?
Yes, we did.
Madam Chair, did I miss a vote on that? I was
not on this last one, because that was the one before you did.
Okay, which did Senator Morissette miss a vote on?
Senator Morissette missed Senate Bill 701.
701. Do you want to vote?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended to allow Senator Morissette to vote on Senate Bill 701.
Senator Cruz moves that the rules be suspended so Senator Morissette can vote on Senate Bill 701. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. How do you vote?
Aye.
No, for the record, he votes aye. All right. Now, the bills, I just want to make sure we're carrying over all the bills. We do not have fiscals on 796.
Right.
891.
Right.
892.
Right.
And are all of these going to Ways and Means? The breast and cervical cancer ones are. Do you want to suspend the rules?
What? I believe 892 will go to Ways and Means. I believe 913 will go to Ways and Means. And 796, I do not believe that's the crematory and mortuary board.
Okay, the breast cancer bills, it's
one more,
I would say we can wait for the fiscal or send them down because we're going to send them down either way. Senator Bates, are you okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm not okay, but send them down, yes.
Okay, Madam.
So hold it. With that, I'd like to open a work session on Senate Bill 891.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purposes of sending Senate Bill 891 to the Committee on Ways and Means minus a fiscal statement.
All right, Senator Cruz moves that the rules be suspended on Senate Bill 891 so we can move it down to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 891 to the floor to do pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 891 to the floor with a do pass recommendation with a referral to Ways and Means with prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. Close the work session on Senate Bill 891, and I'll open a work session on 892.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of referring Senate Bill 892 to the Committee on Ways and Means without a fiscal statement.
Senator Cruz moves that. Is this the rules or the bill?
This is the rules.
That the rules be suspended on Senate Bill 892. So that we can send it down to, pass it out and send it down to Ways and Means without a fiscal. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 892 to the floor to do pass recommendation and a subsequent referral of the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 892 to the floor with a due pass, with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. Are you willing to do this one? Just for Oregon Center for Nursing.
Is Bates willing to do it?
I would like to actually open a work session on Senate Bill 913. This is the Oregon Center for Nursing bill. And we would need to suspend the rules. If you do not want to suspend the rules, then we will move forward without and have it come back on Thursday. Do you have a preference, Senator Bates?
A lot of money.
Look at it.
Yeah.
$100,000 general fund.
Yeah, we know what the fiscals can be, the numbers in the bill.
Go ahead and move it down to Ways and Means.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of referring Senate Bill 913 to the Committee of Ways and Means without a fiscal statement.
Senator Cruz moves that the rules be suspended so we can consider 913 without a fiscal, so we can send it down to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, before I make a motion, a question to Senator Bates. On things like this, does it make any difference to you folks whether they come with or without recommendations. It probably really doesn't, does it? Okay.
People have to understand that asking for general fund money for programs like this is problematical.
Right, right.
We've had that discussion before.
Right, right.
We will not just send them there to die. We will look at them carefully.
Right.
But understanding what the situation is.
And knowing to, and it's not with a great deal of comfort we task you with all of these things. It does speak, Madam Chair, to the still what we have as a disconnect in this process, but and hopefully at some point in time we figure that out. But having said that, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 913 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 913 to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
We took care of last stuff today, didn't we?
Okay, now that takes care of that one.
Sit down with Frank and some other notes. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm carrying over every bill that needs to be carried over. We passed out Senate Bill 5.
Madam Chair, the list I have is 507.
Hold it. Can I just go through the way I did?
All right,
we passed out Senate Bill 5, correct?
Yes.
850, we passed out.
Yes.
679.
Yes.
456, we're carrying over, correct? Or are we?
Yes, we are. 456, yeah. Carryover.
And 454, we passed out.
No, 456 was passed. We're bringing 454.
Right.
That's right. We passed 454.
We adopted the dash twos, but we're going to look at the whole thing.
Bring 454 back with DCBS. We passed out 725 and 700.
Yes.
Okay. We passed out 913, 892, 891.
Yep.
And we're going to carry over 796.
Yes.
We have no fiscal.
Yes.
And we passed out 701.
Yes.
We're going to carry over 856.
Yes.
A lot more pushback.
And then we're going to carry over 507, 508, and 509.
You.
Bingo.
All right. With that, thank you, committee. We do have an evening meeting on Thursday, unless we can get everything done from 8 to 10.
Oh,
but no meeting tonight.
Right. Okay,
so with that, we're adjourned.
Well, I like to